as we began to come out of COVID and think about global missions, we just began saying, God, where are you leading us? We got introduced to Roger and we started hearing about Japan. And I think he had gotten off the call on me and Kate said, we're supporting this guy. We believe in him. Like, this is a guy that you want to get behind. Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give you insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I am Brent Minter, lead pastor of Keystone Church, and I'm really excited about this episode today. You know, recently we did a podcast over global missions and kind of our heart and where in this season, some of the things we're focusing on at Keystone, we think of global missions. And today, we have an awesome episode where me and one of our elders, who I'm going to introduce in just a second, just returned home from Japan. And we thought it'd be an incredible opportunity to talk a lot about what we experienced and why we're excited about where we feel like God is leading us in Japan. So today, my travel buddy, fellow elder, we have had some moments the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we have.
Kyle Thomas.
Hey.
Welcome.
This is great. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited for to kind of be able to share a lot of what we got to experience with the people of Keystone. And so, again, our hope in this episode is to just talk about our trip, but also a little bit of what we discovered, one of the need of Japan, and also some of the things that we're thinking about as we move forward. But before we jump into that, a lot of people know you, Kyle, but not everybody knows you. Why don't you just give some input about where you came from, how long you've been at Keystone, and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife, her name is Jill Thomas. A lot of you probably know her. She's kind of the outgoing one in our family. I'm steady in the family, and we've got four kids. We've been around for 8.5 years around Keystone and Ankeny, and it's just been a joy to engage and serve in this church body. It's been fun.
Yeah, so you have been a connection group leader for many years.
Yes.
You kind of have a long line of reproducing really healthy connection groups. You wouldn't say that about yourself, but I will say that about yourself. And you joined our elder team last December. Is that right?
June, so about a year now.
June. So, I mean, you've been such an addition to our team. It's been incredible. And so it was actually fun when we're thinking about new travel to Japan was coming up. God kind of brought you to mind. You have some history back with missions background. Another one of our elders, Kent, who does a lot of missions, had a new baby, so we didn't want him to go even if he wanted to go because we wanted him to be a good father. But we had such an incredible time. And I mentioned this on Sunday as I was kind of saying a few things from the sermon of, we really had two primary things that we wanted to accomplish when we went. Mm-hmm. And I want to spend some time talking about this. Our first real clear objective was to encourage and engage with a team that we are giving a financial support to, prayer support, that is in Osaka. Mm-hmm. And excited to talk about that. What a joy.
Yeah. I'm not sure very many people know that we have partners in Osaka, Japan that we support.
Yeah.
It's Roger and Eric Osario, and they've got their little year and a half old daughter, Luella. And they are awesome.
Oh,
they're so cool. They and a team of, you know, single post-college students kind of came together in a crazy series of events and launched out to Japan almost a year ago at this point. And they were sent from a Salt Network church, so kind of a sister church of ours.
Yeah.
And so it was
Doxa, which is in Madison.
In Madison, yeah. So it was just this like easy partnership to jump into. And then we've had, I mean, you can speak to this. We've had maybe like two or three Zoom chats with Roger. And then, you know, we met him in person for the very first time.
Yeah. I love this story because as we began to come out of COVID and think about missions, which you can hear on that last episode, we'll link to it in the show notes about global missions.
We just began saying, God, where are you leading us? Mm-hmm. And we got introduced to Roger, and we started hearing about Japan. And Kent and I, really, God began to stir. Like, literally, we remember getting off a call with Roger, and just me and Kent, I think he had gotten off the call, and me and Kent said, we're supporting this guy. Mm-hmm. We believe in him. Like, yeah. this is a guy that you want to get behind. A little bit of his background, I love it. He is Honduran.
Mm-hmm.
Came to the States as a 10-year-old boy. Came to faith in the States, went to college, got an opportunity to go overseas in college, has spent 4 years of his life in Eastern Asia before kind of the pandemic and other things kind of shut a little bit of that down before they relocated to mm-hmm. Japan. So he's got some experience and mm-hmm. heart for the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, that Roger and Erica are really the primary people we're supporting, but they're leading a team. That whole team is 9 people. I just love for you, because I know what we would say, but I'm just excited to turn to you. Just talk to me about the joy of hanging out with that team, the excitement you saw. Like,
it was. It was a joy. It was, and joy is like, it's an appropriate enough word, but you have to take it in its like most deep and sincere way for it to express what that time was. And same thing with good. You know, it's like just saying good isn't good enough.
Yeah.
It is the full expression of that word good to be with that team. And they're the body of Christ at work living on mission in Osaka, Japan together. And it means that they're all unique. They've got their own little quirks and their own little habits. And a couple of them are roommates here and roommates there. There's a handful of gals, and there's one guy, Mitchell, who was a joy to hang out with him, that kind of round out that team led by Roger and Erica. And so we spent time with them over meals. The table was just so important in our time with that team. And we heard them encourage one another. We heard them speak well of one another. We heard the strengths and the uniquenesses that everyone brings. We heard God's stories, and we heard how they all kind of got wrapped into this thing that is now taken off in Osaka, Japan.
Yeah, I won't forget, like, we had lots of meals, lots of laughs, lots mm-hmm. of joy, but also some tears.
Yeah.
As we got to get together and... I don't know what it likes to be on that side, and Roger's an incredible team, but a really sacred space we got to be in is just to shepherd them and be kind to them and pray with them and mm-hmm. do the best we can to encourage them, and just some sweet, tender moments sitting around and praying for each other mm-hmm. and encouraging one another.
Yeah, you can imagine. I mean, so this team, right, to give you some context, they many of them got plucked from ministry field in other countries due to COVID. They've been refugees in Madison, Wisconsin for a couple of years, still connected as a team, still doing ministry together, trying to identify where do they want to go. And Japan just came to the forefront, and there's opportunity there. And they identified Osaka, so they went. And that was, you know, May of last year. And really where you start in that context is language.
Yeah.
And so they have been like forehead deep, right?
Yeah.
Not neck deep. Like, they are in the deep end of language, and they have been for almost an entire year, and they will be for at least another year, probably more.
Yeah.
And that is a slog. And so that weight of, you know, a team that is wanting to live on mission, they want to be effective, they're making hard decisions, they are investing in what they know is going to be fruitful, but there's not a lot of ministry or encouragement, you know, from what they were used to. And they know what being faithful means, but that's a season that is unique. I mean, we all have seasons like that where... It's just difficult. It's a grind. Faithfulness is not fun necessarily. Mm-hmm. And yet we know a clarity of calling, and we know what obedience is. And so we just keep in step with the Spirit, and we choose it.
And it's so joyful because they know this and they're committed to this. There's no long-term fruitful ministry without speaking the heart language of the people.
Yeah.
And so they are paying the price.
Yes.
So, like, considering the cost in their world is— understanding the syntax of a very foreign language and
a very difficult language.
Yeah, so the CIA has a classification for languages, and Japanese is one of the hardest, if not the hardest language on earth to grab a hold of. And so they're just being faithful, and it's so good to see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that actually encourages us more because they're doing the right things in their approach. And man, they're early. The second they could get into Japan post-COVID, they were there. Mm-hmm. They're in language school. They're settling. They're understanding the culture. And we feel so good about that team that is serving. Let's go a little bit step further. The second part of our objective was just for us to have a deeper understanding of the culture, for us to engage, like, what does spirituality and the lostness of Japan look like? I've been to a lot of nations. It looks different in every culture. It looks different in America, right? What does that look like? What are the needs of the gospel in that community? But then also as a part of understanding that landscape, also trying to identify other partners. We'll talk a little bit about culture in just a little bit, because that is a big thing that we spend a lot of time walking. You know, we actually joked, it's not a joke, we in 7 days, we walked well over 65 miles. That's what we could account for on our watches, but there were times our watches weren't on us. Both of our shoes were worn out.
I need some new shoes.
We were on the move, trying to drink in everything.
And we joke about this, like if we were playing bingo, blackout bingo, we did it all.
We did it all. And it was a blast. We had the same kind of mindset, traveling, getting after it. But then on the other side of that is understanding some ministry partners there, besides the Osarios and besides the Osaka team, and saying, what else is going on in the country? Where are there other places? Because that we could begin to think of what other things, like Osaka's one city, and there's 127 million people. How could we do that? And so we did find other kind of ministries that we're excited about that in the long run, we think will could be partners for us as well. So that's a little bit of our objective. I feel really good about that. Let's kind of lean into that culture piece. I want to read something that I wrote in my journal one morning. A key thing is from my life, but also just being overseas, is love to journal everything that I feel like God's working and that you're seeing. This is what I wrote one morning. Don't let the beauty distract you from the brokenness, and don't let the brokenness distract you from the beauty. Mm-hmm. There were these real two words that kind of emerged for us over our trip of beauty and broken. And so, Kyle, let's start with the beauty, because it was a delight to be in Japan.
I've been a lot of places. I probably have a new favorite place on the top of the list. I mean, it's like, as travel goes, it's an easy place to get acquainted with. It's an easy place to navigate. It's clean. It's safe. Honestly, I've never been in a safer place than
Ankeny.
Safer than Ankeny, a city of 10 million people. Not a care in the world.
Never once felt uncomfortable. Like literally, you want to walk down the dark alleys because that's where the best food is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you see, you know, single women late at night just walking home alone. It's like there's something about the culture that accommodates that sense of safety, but then politeness was a big one. Honor society. So it's really beautiful to see one anothering of respect in a culture. That's so evident. It's a highly technological place as well. So it's like you've got a Visa credit card, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a modern phone, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about cell towers or Wi-Fi or clean water or, I mean—
Never once got a bottle of water because we needed to be worried about water.
Right. Yeah, it's not a thing. Tap water is fine. And then, I mean, we haven't even mentioned yet, but the crazy efficiency of a society that has hordes of people, a density that is greater than I've seen anywhere else.
Yeah, my favorite fact here. Yeah. density is unbelievable. Again, I've been a lot of places, never experienced anything like it. And my favorite efficiency thing that we heard is if a train is 20 seconds late, they declare it delayed. 20 seconds.
It's nuts.
It's nuts. But that's an indicator of how efficient and effective and polite people queue. Like make lines for like the rest of the world calls it queues. Americans say make a line, but there's queues and people just follow it.
Then people know where to walk and where not to walk. They know where to stand, where not to stand. And I tell you what, in a city of 10 million people, I have never experienced that level of efficiency,
organization.
Yeah. I mean, ease.
So I think what we're trying to say is that when you experience the culture, sometimes when you go on a mission trip, you actually go, oh, this place is deeply broken. When you walk into Japan, you actually, there's a level of like, wow.
This is better.
Yeah.
This is,
there's some betterness here, right? I wish Americans were this polite, right?
Yes. Like, yeah.
But that's why I had to write in my journal, Kyle, don't let the beauty distract you from the brokenness.
Yeah, we can't be lulled to sleep by an earthly definition of success or beauty or flourishing.
That's right.
It's
because in our mind, at a societal level, we go, there's some things flourishing here that I actually don't see flourishing in the States. But the reason we can't be distracted by that is because there is a spiritual brokenness.
Yeah.
That is profound.
We were praying from day one, and as we were prepping for God to give us eyes to see. Like, we want to see the things that He sees while we're over there. We don't want to be, have our Ankeny filter on. We don't want to have our American culture, our American church filter on. We don't want to have our Keystone filter on. We want to see what God sees.
Yeah.
And we want to engage in a meaningful way to catch a vision for what that looks like. And yeah, there's brokenness. There's a dark underbelly to what can easily lure you to sleep.
So some of the beauty of the underbelly is the politeness, the honor also means that you can't say no in a lot of cultures, in a lot of context.
Yeah.
It means that there's high work. The efficiency is at a price. There's a significant idol of work. There's significant amounts of despair, like in the workplace, you have to say yes, but when you go home, you're miserable.
Your family system is miserable. The divorce rate is crazy high. The
promiscuity rates,
infidelity rate.
It's like 60% of men, or so, 40 or 60. I know it's a wide span, but the point is it's just as common to have an extramarital affair as not. And in fact, there's actually things called love hotels that are everywhere to accommodate that you can rent by the hour. So. Yeah. And beyond the mores of society, the reality is 127 million people and 0.5%. I've read 0.3, and so it doesn't matter. At that level, the lack of the gospel in that culture is
astounding.
Astounding. And so there is beauty in some of the things you see, but when you say, God, what do you see? It is sheep without a shepherd, people with no hope. And that's a problem for us who carry the hope. We're supposed to be ambassadors of hope. We're supposed to be salt and light to the world.
Yeah, you can go to Haiti and you can go to Kenya and you can go to, third world countries, second world countries even, and it is so clearly obvious that there's something broken there and that God needs to redeem that place. Yeah. And then, like we were saying, you go to Japan, and it's like, well, there's not a lot of obviousness to the brokenness in this place. And so God give us eyes to see, and my goodness, the spiritual poverty, right? Give us eyes to see what true poverty is. Yeah. It's not how much money you have in the bank account. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not the car you drive. It's not the house you're in. There is a mindset and a heart-level condition of poverty, a spiritual condition of poverty, depravity without Jesus, and it is alive and well in that place.
It is. It is. It's astounding, and you have to experience it. You have to have eyes to see it, because you don't see it. And as we look at that, there's brokenness even in the church, mm-hmm. because we saw some glowing yeah. examples of what the church should be.
Yes.
But there's just not enough gospel witness.
No.
Japan
is a perfect example of, you know, there's been revivals in the past. There's been waves of Christianity in the past, but it's a beautiful example. And this is a broad stroke, and there's a lot of nuance to this. But when the church is not missional, when the church is not oriented mm-hmm. towards the next generation, when the church gets inward focused, when the church gets comfortable and complacent, it shrivels.
Yeah, it's just true. I mean, a statistic again, we've heard these things and we're repeating them, so we might be off a little bit, but 70% of pastors are mm-hmm. 60 and over.
Yeah.
There was a revival or a small move of the gospel in the 80s. Honestly, Billy Graham was a part of that. There was Billy Graham Crusades. But since then, those churches kind of, they're so separate from the culture, they didn't reach into the culture. So the average church size in Japan is 35 people, and 70% of those pastors are 60 and older with no one to pass the leadership on.
Mm-hmm. And we heard of examples of pastors moving on to furlough or to sabbatical, and they just shriveled up and they disappeared.
Yep. And we also heard examples of the Japanese church not having a missional idea.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can't go reach the people. We have to protect our 30.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot going on there, but what we do know, we're not here to judge the church. There's some faithful pastors doing the best
yes.
they can.
Yes.
We're here to say there's not enough.
There's not enough.
There's yeah. not enough. If you stood at a train station and any given day, you would see hundreds of thousands of people pour out of the central exits. And there is not enough gospel work. And so that's the reason back to mm-hmm. Roger and the team, back with some partners that we kind of interacted with, IMB, mm-hmm. that we see some ways that we can connect with. Mm-hmm. That's the reason they're so exciting for us mm-hmm. is because, you know, I feel like a little bit of us looking now through the beauty and then through the brokenness, the next step for us is just to talk about how we see this working in the future.
Yeah.
And here's what we didn't know. God can do whatever he wants, Kyle, but unless we set a vision and we start pouring resources and time and prayer, probably we won't have a next step.
Yeah.
But we want to be a next step type of people. Like
yeah.
we are on the move. We're not going to see the lostness of that place and feel the burden that we feel God putting on our heart for Japan mm-hmm. and just go, man, maybe one day something cool will happen.
Yeah.
We feel like we have some really clear next steps. Now, none of these are on the calendar. None of them are.
We got booked. Back 4 days ago, by the way.
Yeah.
So give us some grace.
Yeah, give us some grace. But I feel like we feel really confident that we have opportunities from everything from 7-day trips for adults, maybe students, and some of our college mm-hmm. students. Right now, our college students are going to other South Asian places mm-hmm. that we'll work how that works. But we, even adults, that we're really excited because there's real opportunity for us to take vision trips that would give real context, real opportunity for our adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not had that because a lot of the international places we've worked have been, we can't talk about it in public. Mm-hmm. There's been great work.
Mm-hmm.
But if we talk about it in public, we're putting workers at risk.
Yeah.
And so we're not here.
Yes.
And it's very available. Travel's international, you know, jet lag, la, la, mm-hmm. la, 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 but it's accessible beyond belief.
Yeah.
We see opportunities for like semester level for maybe students mm-hmm. that want a gap year.
Yeah.
4 to 6 month opportunities. We've identified real
mm-hmm.
opportunities for that.
Yeah.
For someone who's looking like especially student post-college, maybe someone a little older, depending on what that's going, a 2-year to 3-year commitment.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple ways we can do that.
Yeah.
And then someone who says, I feel like God's calling me long-term. Clear next steps for all of those things. And I think another one is that it's not with a mission agency or something that we would necessarily do that way. But we also saw a model of someone who just says, I feel called to Japan. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to move there and get a job.
Yeah.
And
he's doing it.
And he's doing it. And he's a believer. And he's joining them in mission. But he mm-hmm. works at an IT company.
Yeah. He's a lay leader in what is not even a church on the ground yet. God is mobilizing laborers for the harvest, and it's beautiful to see. And we want Keystone to be a part of that.
Yeah. And so all of these have to take fruit. That's mm-hmm. our job. Super excited to figure that out. We've already dreamed a lot and trying to figure that out. But I think, Keystone, if you're listening to this and God maybe is pricking your heart right now, be watching, because we're going to try to give everything we can an opportunity. And some of those, we're not going to be able to take 50-day one. In fact, one of the things that is going to be obvious is they're going to have to be smaller trips. We can't take 20 because very few restaurants have seats of 20. Like, there's 10,000 restaurants, but they all seat about 20 people. And getting a seat is hard if you're over three or four people.
Yeah.
So some of these trips may be smaller. But by God's grace, our hope is to put these in front of some people with opportunities to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Kyle, you're an incredible travel partner. And I don't think either one of us are going to forget this season of the stirring of God, of like, this is a need.
Yes.
And there's some real practical steps that Keystone could be in. And honestly—
There is a need. There is also a move, right? We kept hearing over and over again, Japan is just now kind of arousing, like coming awake from COVID.
Yeah.
And students are back on campuses.
Yep.
You know, businesses and restaurants are opening up. There's more and more people commuting, more and more people out and about. The churches are starting to fill up again. I mean, there's this move at work. There's opportunity in this place that is— it's hard.
Yeah.
But there's a work.
Thanks for saying that, because the way that Japan experienced the pandemic is different than us.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of Japanese people are still wearing masks.
At least, yeah.
So they're just now starting to come out of that COVID season for them. And, you know, I think of, you know, the brother that we are able to, not a brother yet, that we are able to talk to on the plane. Like, you know, 4 months ago, he wouldn't have been on that plane, most likely, because where they're at. And Kyle got an opportunity to share our belief in Jesus with him, and very engaged with that, even interacting on Instagram with us post that conversation. Yeah. And so there is real need. Mm-hmm. It's really accessible, and it's not going to be the only place Keystone goes, but we feel like it's going to be a major target for us as we move forward.
Yeah, and Keystone Church, friends, as you're hearing this, as you engage with this mission, right, you've got to ask yourself, what's my next step? And for a lot of you, it's simple. It's you're going to pray. And maybe it's, you know, you give. Maybe it's you have a conversation with Brent or I. But there's going to be a whole host of us whose hearts are stirred in some way.
Yeah.
And we don't know if that's, we don't know what that's going to yield. We don't know if that's a 1 week trip. We don't know if that's a 2 year commitment. We don't know if that's a gap year.
Yeah.
We don't know if, it doesn't matter what God is calling us to 10 years from now. What we need to focus in on is God is stirring our hearts right now. And so what do we do with that? What's our next step?
I love it. And if you don't know what to do, set your watch. 10:02.
Mm-hmm.
Google Shibuya Crossing.
Mm.
Every 90 seconds, thousands of people cross. I've been told 1 to 3 million people a day cross that thing. And then go, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Yeah.
God, send laborers. And maybe our prayers that God would send laborers from our church into that place, and we can continue to seek his kingdom in that place. And so, Kyle, thanks so much for being with us. Excited to see just the start. And we'll let God write the story. We'll be faithful as the Spirit leads. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for being a travel partner, man. We had so much fun.
Such a joy. Yeah, it's great.
It's good. Keystone, thanks so much for being a part of our conversation today. Make sure you subscribe to the Keystone Conversation podcast so you will not miss future episodes. If you'd like to know more about Keystone Church or listen to sermons, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep the conversation going.